And hello, it is Intuitive Soul Radio, Intuitive Soul, clearing a path to divine consciousness. And we're here with host Carrie Cannon and her show, Uncovering the Divine Within. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Lori.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're going to do probably an interesting series of talks right now. And we're starting with, you know, relationships and intimacy. And I know that that is a very big focus right now for a lot of people. And so this is, should be some exciting shows. So let's sort of talk about, I guess, you know, how it relates to self-love and how relationships and intimacy kind of weave into the picture of who we are.
Okay, great. Thank you for asking it, presenting it that way. Well, I mean, as you know, and as probably most of the listeners know, my main focus is self-love. And we're always told that, you know, you can't love anybody else unless you love yourself, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we hear it all the time, and a lot of times we'll come from sort of an egoic perspective. Well, yeah, I love myself. I think I'm great, you know. And, but self-love is really not about, you know, tooting your own horn and, you know, placing yourself above others, which is what a lot of people perceive it means when you hear people talking about self-love. And what my experience has shown me is that self-love is really allowing yourself to be exposed, not necessarily to others, because people are a reflection of us. We experience our world as a reflection of what's going on within us. So if we perceive disharmony in our lives, generally it's because we've got some disharmony going on within us, and it just reflects to us back that way. And, you know, it touches all areas of our lives. But the more honest we can be with ourselves, the more we sort of show up for ourselves. And that reflects in all of our life experience, and particularly our intimate relationships, because that is where we have a lot of social conditioning, and we want to find somebody who we can really be with and share ourselves with and be open and honest and vulnerable, and we want somebody to accept us exactly as we are. But until we can accept ourselves exactly as we are, we can't find that. We struggle with finding that. And the beauty of intimate relationships and intimacy is that, at least I have found in my experience, the more intimate I become with someone, the more intimate I have to become with myself. And it pushes me to a point where it's almost like I'm confronted with a fear. But if I don't step over that boundary and express my love and risk it all, then I can't find my own fulfillment. And also, I can't feel my love expressed. And to the degree that someone is willing to take that, sort of someone reflects that back to me, is the degree that I can feel it, because I feel it running through me. So that, to me, I guess sort of in a nutshell, is how intimate relationships relate to the idea of self-love and allowing yourself to be loving.
Right. And a lot of the times, the boundaries within which we create a relationship tends to get blurred. So we, you know, I don't think anybody intends to go into a relationship and be codependent. I don't think anybody intends to go into a relationship and, you know, not be able to communicate properly or not being able to open up and discuss what's going on. I think we all, if we're in a conscious place and we're all striving to be that, when we enter into a relationship, I think that that is our intention. But of course, our stories start to play and our issues start to come up, because I think there is no greater opportunity for us to learn about ourselves than when we're in an intimate relationship.
Right. Yeah, boundaries are a really funny thing. And someone presented me during the past couple of weeks with a question about boundaries. And to me, my perspective on life, first of all, let me preempt this with sort of Carrie's, a little glimpse into Carrie's perspective on life. I truly perceive that I am one with all. And from that perceptual point of view, there are no boundaries. So if I feel something, I perceive that it is meant to be. So if I feel whatever it is, I could feel a strong love, I could feel a strong agitation, I could feel mild forms of this or that, but I perceive that it's all coming from our one consciousness. And then from that, if I don't accept how I'm feeling and either accept it to myself or in an intimate relationship, express that, to me, that is not allowing my true nature to shine through. So when it comes to boundaries, I have found that I have a really hard time knowing where one person ends and where I begin, because somebody may have all of this stuff that they're dealing with, and my degree of allowing myself to express my love, and it doesn't have to be pushing myself on someone. It can just be sitting in stillness with that person, or allowing them to talk, or allowing myself to say something that I might fear, or just allowing myself to be completely open. However that shows up, I allow that. However, when we're allowing ourselves to be completely open and honest and vulnerable, we get really deep, really quickly, oftentimes, and the boundaries to our blocks really tend to show up. And my perception is that those boundaries that we create for ourselves are our fears. So if we can navigate those fears and allow ourselves to be present with either the object of our adoration or our children or our grandparents or whoever, however life is showing up, if we can allow ourselves to be present in that moment, however that intimate moment is showing, because everything is intimacy, it's all into me see sort of thing, and to the degree that we allow ourselves to be present in those moments is our degree of intimacy with ourselves. So when we allow ourselves to be present, that's when we can sort of cooperatively deal with whatever blocks we have, because our blocks are our boundaries. They're walls. They're the walls that we have that are a perceived aspect of separation. You know, it's a perceived separation. That's all that a boundary is. Like if you draw a fence between your property, you know, you put a fence between your property and somebody else's property. It's all one land, but it's a, you know, a perceived separation of okay, this is mine and this is yours. And allowing the self to be intimate is sort of removing those barriers. But to do it in sort of a gentle, accepting way where you're not even trying to do it, because the more we try, the more resistance we have. And resistance is what causes the boundaries in the first place. So when we can allow ourselves to just be present, however that moment shows up, instead of pushing ourselves onto somebody, then the boundaries can come down more easily, because boundaries are just there so that we can experience safety. Because we've sort of been conditioned to feel that we're not safe, you know, through whatever experiences we've had, our social conditioning, all of that. And when we can just relax in that and relax in the other person and not push and be present and non-resistant, then we can allow for our boundaries, our personal boundaries, because those are showing up as a reflection of us, and the boundaries of our loved ones, to melt away.
Mm-hmm. Let's explore that a little bit more, because my understanding typically of boundaries is that you know, for a lot of women, we don't have boundaries. So mm-hmm. we are always kind of merging our own energies and becoming, you know, this codependent person that we don't really want to be, but we don't know how to create healthy boundaries so that we can maintain our own being without, you know, kind of falling into place and being what that other person wants us to be. And I think boundaries is a very interesting topic, because I think we blur those realms, and what you're talking about seems to be something else. Like, not that it's not boundaries, but it's a different melding of, you know, your essence and being feeling safe, which is very different.
Yeah, I perceive that there are sort of two questions going on here, or two ways of approaching that. One with where we as women tend to want to merge with someone else and want to blend with someone else. We do that, and it's funny because I have many, many really awesome, amazing girlfriends, and it seems that relationships and intimacy is just a really big thing going on right now, which mm-hmm. is why we're talking about this week. And in one aspect of my life, someone is showing up, and it's like she wants this relationship so badly, and she pushes herself to try and drop her boundaries, but that's mm-hmm. also resistance. You know, like she has things in her life that have sort of, I hate to use the word scarred, but have impeded her from being able to be open and intimate. And it's like she pushes herself into situations where she wants this relationship so badly, and she wants to be able to get to the crux of the matter so badly. And she's so dedicated to her spiritual growth process that she doesn't allow herself to relax. And I said to her, I said, you have so many things on your plate. You need to just allow yourself to relax. And I perceive that the codependency stuff comes from a place of not allowing ourselves to relax. It's kind of like we as women, we have these boundaries. We want to break through them, and we push ourselves to have what we think we want. And then it's almost like we give ourselves away, give aspects of ourselves away in trade for stability or for that relationship that we think we want, or whatever it is, whatever piece that we perceive that relationship is showing us. But what we refuse to do is to sort of claim our power and say no, or to be accepting of ourselves, because it comes back to the self-love, in accepting of ourselves, okay, this doesn't really feel right, but I'm going to push through this anyway. It's the pushing, it's the resistance that keeps those boundaries in place. And when we can, you know, allow ourselves to sort of step back and say, okay, how am I feeling in this moment? Am I feeling like I want to move further into this relationship, or am I feeling like I need to move back, or how am I feeling? And it's almost like once we start becoming intimate, let's say, you know, you have a sexual relationship with someone, then it's almost like, okay, well, I need to maintain this and keep this up, because now here's the bar, and that's what's expected. And it's like we expect it of ourselves to maintain sort of the status quo, but life is organic. And it seems to me that women specifically are so dedicated to our growth, or at least the women I know. I don't know one woman. Let me think. I can't think of one woman who is not dedicated to her spiritual growth. And it seems to me that we so crave that intimacy, but we project it onto somebody else, thinking that it's coming from them, rather than listening to our heart and what's going on with us. So our boundary may be to ourselves to say, okay, I'm not really comfortable with this, and then having the courage to admit to ourselves, all right, I know this person expects this of me, I don't really feel like going there right now, so I need to create this boundary for myself. And it's not really a boundary, an outward boundary. It's not saying, hey, guy, you know, you're doing this to me. It's more like, I'm doing this to me, and just being able to accept that. And in that, you create your own internal honoring of yourself, because it, what we do is we try to overstep our own boundaries so quickly because we so crave those relationships that we dishonor ourselves, and then we end up heartbroken or confused or in chaos or however that challenge shows up in our lives, rather than just allowing ourselves to be and allowing ourselves to relax. Because as we relax into who we are, relaxation is that state of self-love. It's like, okay, I'm cool exactly as I am, exactly as my body is, exactly how my career and my money is showing up. Everything is cool. I'm safe, protected, and I'm divinely guided. But the thing is, we forget that part. We forget that we're safe, protected, and divinely guided. We forget that all that we are, all that we see, everything in our experience is an extension of who we are, and that we've always, always, always been taken care of. You know, we're here, you know, and then when we go, we find out that there's even more. But we forget that we are all that it is, and that we're using this life as an adventure to get to know ourselves more intimately. And we project that outside of ourselves. And it comes back to allowing ourselves to just be accepting of how we are showing up. Forget about who we're projecting that onto. How am I showing up? What do I feel? What's going on with me? And then when we can honor that, then the relationships go smooth. They're much more smooth. But it takes a while for us to claim that, because we're just growing into we're just starting to claim our divine feminine. And like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even before that, we don't have that, we don't have the role models.
Mm-hmm.
So we're navigating this in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the boundary from the one side. And I'm not really sure how to approach, like, coming from the other side, I don't know, to me it's all one holistic thing. So now I'm not really seeing it as two different things. I know when you asked the question I was, but then in my explanation it sort of brought itself together. So perhaps you might want to turn it in another direction so I can see it differently.
Well, no, I do think you brought it together. I mean, the question was sort of, you know, a lot of women kind of blur the boundaries, don't know how to create a healthy boundary in, you know, being able to not merge with another person. Or, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I found it interesting as I was listening to you, you know, women learn through relationships. Women, for women, you know, it's almost a strong urge to create something through another person, or to feel themselves through another person, or to, you know, to that desire to create relationships. And for men, you know, their focus is typically on career and, you know, where they're going and what they're wanting, and relationship sort of falls in to the plan, but it's not a major focus. Where for women, it tends to always be this, you know, how do we create relationship, whether it's with ourselves, whether it's with another, whether it's mending the relationship with friends, whether it's mending the relationship with family. But we tend to, you know, our focus tends to be on relationships, how to create healthy relationships, how to maintain healthy relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, how to keep that going. And so, you know, a lot of times our boundaries tend to, and I hear what you're saying about, you know, the safety and wanting to open up our boundaries so that we're more vulnerable and more authentic. And then there's the boundaries of creating that space mm-hmm. within ourselves so that we can be ourself as well as in a relationship with another.
Yeah. I have had, I'm going to talk about two very sort of significant relationships that are opposites.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very dear friend who, I think we've been friends for 8 years, something like that. And for a really, really long time, first of all, he's in Europe. I'm here. Actually, both of these people are in Europe, and I'm in the United States. And for, I don't know, call it 6 years, we we chatted online about every day. And this person helped me with my self-realization process. And while I was going through some really, really hard times in my life, he was there. He was there. And he was also, he had also been celibate for a long time. And we had probably the deepest, most intimate relationship, or still have, it's shifted, that I've ever experienced. And there was almost, for me, a codependency there, because I was relying on him to sort of be my spiritual connection. And then I chose to go visit him. And since he had sort of been experiencing this celibacy thing for a long time, I went to go visit him. And when we met at this destination, and I he saw me, and he's like, "Oh, there you are." And then he turned around to lead me away. And I was like, "Hey, I've just crossed the Atlantic to come see you. Can I have a hug?" And he was very stiff, and like he was unyielding. It was almost like hugging a tree. And that rigidity that I experienced with him, in contrast with the depth, was really interesting. And I got to see an aspect of that that I hadn't seen before. And although it was very deep, there was also always this boundary that was there, and I felt like I couldn't break through it. I couldn't get through this boundary. And it was almost like an alchemy. Like together we had this really wonderful, amazing energy, but being apart for me was very difficult. Like I would go 2 or 3 days and he wasn't around, or he wouldn't show up, or I wouldn't talk to him, and I would start freaking out. Now that's really codependent. Then after I went to go visit him, our relationship shifted a little bit, and I asked deliberately for someone to show up who would help me address that, the aspect that I perceived was missing in that relationship, which was a stillness. I didn't perceive a stillness in that, and I was craving that, because I knew that it was something that I needed to integrate into my who I was. And then came my other friend, his name is David. And with my relationship with David, he was also in Europe. But it was almost like where the one was really, really intense, with David, it was like this vast spaciousness. There's a true love there. But there's like this vast spaciousness where, and I don't really know how to describe it, so I'm just doing the best that I can. It's almost like wind. It was just so open and so spacious, but there was, in the center of it, was this love. But since it was so vast and so spacious, and it was the opposite of the other relationship that I had that was just very sort of intense, and I felt like I needed him there all the time. The spaciousness made me, it's almost, if you can imagine just a huge spaciousness all around, and then in the middle there's just like a little ball, like a little tight, dense ball. I had to be that ball, because if I would reach out to try and lean on him for anything, it was like I could just keep going and going and going and going and going, infinitely. Because there was so much spaciousness within that relationship, the only way I could know who I was or where I was in that relationship was to be that stillness, that center point within that. And from that, from those two dynamics, from the one where I was, where it was really intense, and I just adored him, I just wanted to spend every moment with him, to the other one where I love him, but it's totally opposite, I found that center. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy for people to find that, because that was part of my process. And I really had to go through, I sort of had to have my heart broken and release that codependent tendency that I had and get to the point where I recognized that I am that stillness, because with my relationship with the other person, I could not find that stillness because I was relying on him for my connection. And now the one who, the intense person, is kind of back in my life, but it's so much healthier. It's like this really awesome friendship, but the codependent element is gone because I have found that really dense stillness within myself. It's kind of like in a vast universe of just openness, you know, I am very present. And one of my girlfriends had a vision of me, and we were talking about this the other day. And she was meditating on me because, you know, I'm the type of person where, because I am very centered in who I am, I'll say things, but I don't censor myself first. You know, I'll say things because I perceive that I am one with all. And if it's coming through me, it must be something that needs to be said. Mm-hmm. So and sometimes she'll buck up against me. But, you know, she's one of my dearest friends. And what she said that was that she was meditating on, okay, what is this about Carrie that, you know, she bucks up against? And she had an image of just a telephone pole. And here, of me being like this telephone pole and, you know, unshakable, where, you know, if she's going 100 miles an hour and she crashes into me, I'm not going to fall down, you know. So what happened through these two different relationships was that I saw what I was lacking in the one, which was I knew I had this codependent thing going on, and I wanted so desperately to release that codependency because I want, just as everybody else wants, a truly equal relationship where I am comfortable with me and he is comfortable with who he is, and he can do what he wants and I can do what I want, and we come together because we enjoy each other and we want to be together, not because there's this dynamic going on where I need you to show up in a certain way in order for me to feel safe. And that's what was created. But it's an ongoing process. And you know, Lori, I've been working on this process. Jeez. I don't even know if I want to say this, for over 20 years. And I've been working on, you know, me and getting to know who I am and my centeredness. And it's not an easy thing. But ultimately, if we can just work on ourselves and look at our stuff and look at our triggers and ask ourselves, okay, what is this showing me? How can I see myself differently? If I'm feeling chaotic, where's the chaos in my life? What am I not accepting? Why am I not feeling clarity? Then, you know, if we can ask ourselves those questions, or even have somebody to help us, you know, ask ourselves those questions, which is what I do with my clients and friends and pretty much anybody who I come in contact with, you know, if we can ask ourselves, okay, what is it here that I'm trying to show myself? Then those answers will come pretty quickly, you know, but we need to be present enough to ask ourselves, okay, what's missing here? What am I looking for? And what do I want to do to change my experience, or how can I change my experience?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that answered it, but.
No, definitely. I mean, it is. It's all about awareness. And the more aware and the more present you can be within yourself, the more you can understand every relationship and what they're showing you and what it is about for you. So you asked people to send in some questions, and you actually have some really great questions. I'm going to skip around a bit so that they sort of weave in together. But one of the questions was, I love the feeling of diving into a relationship and falling in love, but how do you maintain your balance? And I guess that's kind of what we've been talking about with regards to boundaries. So why don't you...
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. And, you know, I have a friend who I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I thought it was over, and then we got back to, we, you know, sort of not got back together, but, you know, we're talking again, and that relationship feels healed. And I had that feeling this past week. I was like, wow, I would love to just dive into this. But entering it again from a, you know, a different perspective, first of all, the feelings are much more intense, you know, which is interesting. Well, I don't know if they're more intense, but they're clearer, and there's a sort of a looseness and a relaxed aspect of it. But at the same time,
there's this wonderful feeling of, wow, I really, really thoroughly enjoy spending time with this person. But not losing yourself in the relationship. And that's, I think that's like one of the key things that everybody's like, how do I not do this? How do I not fall into this codependent thing? And really it comes down to being present. If you ask yourself, is this the right thing for me? And your higher self, consciousness, whatever you want to call that, your spiritual guidance, whatever it is, tells you, you know, yes, this is fine, relax. Then you know, but the thing is, we forget about the relax. To me, everything in life flows smoothly when we relax. And that has to do with, you know, our career, our money, our bodies, whatever it is. You know, if we have stress around something and we want something really, really badly, we tend to sabotage it because we're not listening to ourselves. We're not allowing our internal guidance to sort of lead the way. We think that we need this or we need that, and because of our social conditioning. And we have, instead of listening to ourselves and our internal guidance, we have like our mother in our head, or, you know, our big sister, or our best friend, or, you know, our ex-lover, or whoever it is, telling us how we should feel, what we should be doing, rather than just feeling what's going on. Because yes, we can feel what's going on, but we can also feel if it feels good or if it feels bad. And if we're sad, like let's say, you know, your lover hasn't called in 3 or 4 days, you know, he says he's busy, blah, 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 whatever. If you go within, you know, you can get the answer. Well, you know, he's just really not that into you, or, you know, he's just really busy. But when we don't trust that, when we don't trust what's going on with that, then, you know, with our internal guidance system, and we look at the external circumstance, that's when we throw ourselves off. That's when we're like, oh my God, I need to do this, rather than, you know, sitting and being, and being like, okay, well, what's going on here? How am I responding to this? And if it's a bad, negative feeling, then we're thinking a thought that's not true. And when we think thoughts that aren't true, that's when we start to freak out. So, you know, allowing ourselves to maybe even sit down and write, what feels right, what feels good, what feels like it's the right thing. And, you know, I've sabotaged relationships like that before. I have been so, you know, needy and codependent in the past. And it's just like, wow, you know, looking at it now, it's like, holy mackerel, you know, thank God I had people in my life to help me get through that. And that's where my friend came in, you know, from before, the very still one. But it's all a learning process. And what we do is, if we get into these codependent habits, rather than dealing with it and looking at it, we beat ourselves up. So that's resistance. And the resistance will keep that in place. Rather than just saying, wow, I really feel like I need this person in my life. I want so badly to be in this person's life. I love this person. I adore this person. There's nothing I want more than to join this person and join lives together and, you know, the whole gamut. And what we do is we look at our wants, and then we look at what's going on, and we say, oh, but it's not showing up exactly how I want it to. And then we start to doubt ourselves. We start to doubt our internal guidance. We start to doubt ourselves, and we start to doubt that person. And it's all one. It's all you. So the way to get to the core of whatever we're feeling is, okay, how am I feeling? Okay, I'm feeling torn apart. And if I'm feeling torn apart, that means that everything is not whole, everything is not one, everything is not in alignment. So from that place, how can I get into alignment? What's a better thought? Oh, a better thought is, yeah, he really adores me. He really cares about me. He really loves me, but he's busy. And then to take that and see how that feels. Okay, yeah, that feels better. I can accept that. That feels, you know, it doesn't feel like, you know, he doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want to be with me. He's just got, you know, different priorities right now. And our insecurities come in when we don't trust ourselves. We don't honor ourselves. We don't trust ourselves. We don't believe in ourselves. And we believe all of these lies that we tell ourselves. And those lies are what cause the codependency, because the lies are not coming. Obviously, they're not coming from our true nature. They're not coming from our truth. And as long as we can maintain our truth and just acknowledge what's going on and say, okay, what's a better feeling thought? Oh, a better feeling thought is, yeah, he said he's going to call me. He's going to call me. Or, you know what? If you look within and it seems like he doesn't want to be with you, okay, he doesn't want to be with me. You know what? That's awesome. And I can, what that means is something better is coming along. So the quicker I let this go, if I perceive or if I believe down to my core that, you know, this just isn't right, awesome, I can move on and somebody even better can show up. But until we allow ourselves to listen and accept what's going on inside of us, because all the other stuff is just reflective, we've created all of that other stuff to show us what's going on inside. Until we can accept that, we end up in these cycles of doubt and self-denial.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we have these stories, and some of the stories are from the past, and some of our stories are the fears of our future, and some of the stories are the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves, and some of the stories are what we tell about the other person. And those stories are really what causes that conflict that you're talking about. But if we're looking at, you know, this relationship and diving and falling in love, when you're in that in love phase, you know, that place where, you know, everything is incredible, you know, mm-hmm. you're not really seeing the problems yet. You're still in the honeymoon phase where you're seeing life as bliss. Mm-hmm. And so how do you maintain your balance when you're in a place of that?
How do you maintain the balance when you're in a place of that?
When you're in that place of bliss where you're falling in yeah. love and everything is feeling incredible.
The image that's coming is hold on tight. I'm getting an image of a roller coaster.
Well, often relationships are much like a roller
yeah,
coaster.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm getting is just to hold on tight. And that's not always easy because we get swept up in the drama and the emotion. And, you know, what that person does for us is they make us feel totally accepted. You know, when we're in that bliss, we feel on top of the world because they are showing us what we really know about ourselves. You know, they're showing us the love that we feel for ourselves. And to maintain balance within that, you know, I'm finding in my own things that are going on now, especially with this person who kind of was there and then, you know, not and then back, I almost feel like you need to be very deliberate about what you're doing. Because the first thing is to acknowledge and recognize that, wow, you know, you could be going head over heels. And head over heels is, you know, just being totally knocked off balance. So when you notice that you're going head over heels, which is, wow, what a great metaphor. I never even thought of it that way before. When you notice that you're going head over heels, if you can gather yourself together and go as slowly and deliberately as possible rather than falling head over heels, then it allows you to pull back. And this is from my own experience of what I'm experiencing right now. So, you know, it may not be true for everybody, but I perceive that I'm pretty aware, and it probably is true for at least most people. In the holding back, not holding back like not allowing yourself to express whatever needs to be expressed, but just in allowing yourself to take baby steps instead of giant leaps, there's almost a richness that it creates, and an anticipation and a deliciousness that sort of enters where when you're falling head over heels, you're not present enough to notice all the little nuances of what's going on. So, but the key is to be conscious enough to be able to observe when you're going head over heels and when you just feel so much love and you just want to be with that person all the time and like that's the center of your world. Once that person becomes the center of your world and you can't maintain your balance, you know that it's time, okay, let me step back and regroup. Because you know what? If he cares about you or if she cares about you, I think we have probably mostly female listeners, but who knows? If that person cares about you, they're going to be there. And what they're going to be there. And if you slow down, it makes you all the more delicious. It makes that entire experience all the more delicious for you and the person who you're sharing it with. So allowing yourself to just not necessarily really step back. I mean, I say step back because when you're falling head over heels, it feels like stepping back, but just going forward in a slow and deliberate manner, it allows you to savor what's going on. Because, like, if say you have this awesome brownie sundae and you just gulp it all down, you're not tasting it as it's going down. You can't eat it mindfully. You can't savor it. That's the same thing with an amazing relationship. If you have this amazing person in your life and all you want to do is spend all your time with them and you're not savoring them, then once that intensity goes away after the first period that you're together, then, you know, it's almost like if you haven't savored it then there's nothing left to savor. But if you allow yourself to just force yourself to sort of deliberately go a little bit more slowly, then it becomes really super delicious and it lasts longer. I don't know. I've never been in a relationship where it's this is new territory for me too, but I'm finding in this relationship, and each relationship, by the way, and I don't know if this is just for me, but the people who I've spoken to this past week, because I've asked this question, do you feel like you're getting closer to what you're looking for? You know, because people talk about all their past relationships, all their past intimacies. And I've asked, do you feel like you're getting closer to what you're looking for? And the answer is generally, yeah. You know, I've learned from my past, and everyone seems to get better and better and better in some way. So from your... I don't want to call them mistakes, but from your past experiences, you learn what you're looking for and what you're attracting into your life. So I would say if one can be conscious enough to know that you are falling head over heels in love, allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, but don't necessarily dive in all the way right away. Because savoring it is just—it's just a really delicious experience.
Most definitely, and obviously, it is about awareness, and it is about you becoming more aware. Your next question, I guess I want to still delve into this because it's still, you know, to make it clear. So. Is it really possible to have a relationship that is not codependent? And if so, how?
Yes, I believe there is, because I feel like I've experienced that specifically with my friend David, who I mentioned before. What that showed me was, and actually this one that I'm seem to be, you know, playing with now, what that showed me was that I am complete unto myself. And I believe I got that from that huge, vast spaciousness that I felt. And it allowed me to become to gain such awareness of my energy and to know what's going on that it allowed me to completely trust myself to a point where I had never, ever done that before. And again, yeah, you know, I think these questions that I sent you, I was paying attention to my conversations through the week, but they all sort of melded together. Having a relationship that is not codependent, again, stems from the self-love aspect perspective, in that when you are centered and when you are unswayable, basically, you do what feels right in the moment. And sometimes what feels right in the moment may kind of be a scary thing to do, because you may be judging yourself as, oh, this is not a good thing, this is not a loving thing, this is whatever. But when you're in a space that allows you to be exactly who you are, exactly as you show up, wrinkles and all, then you'll either find someone who can meet you there or you won't. But coming from that place of centeredness, it doesn't matter. Because when you're in that place of centeredness, you are the one that you depend on. And then you look at your experience to show you how you want your experience to happen. So, for example, let's say I enter a relationship and it becomes codependent in a way that I'm afraid to say certain things because I'm afraid it might hurt somebody's feelings, or I'm afraid to speak my truth because I'm afraid somebody will reject me, or, you know, I have these insecurities and I'm afraid to do whatever. Because codependency basically is molding yourself because of your fears to be how you want that other, how you perceive that other person wants you to show up. And it's sort of squelching yourself or stopping yourself from your natural expressions because of that fear. Like, oh, I really like this guy. I don't know what would, for example, I like this guy. He does whatever. Let's say he financially supports me. And oh my God, if I tell him that, you know, I don't like him, whatever, going out with the guys on Saturday night, he might leave me, and that might totally screw up my life, and I don't know what I'll do, so I'm not going to honor my feelings about not being cool with him, like, going out with the boys all night Saturday night, because I have this perception that if he gets mad at me, he's going to leave me and I'll be financially destitute. And that's what codependency is. It's allowing your perceptions of how the relationship is or how that person is to dictate what you allow yourself to express or what you allow yourself to even acknowledge that you feel. And when you are in a space that you can say, you know what? This is how I feel. I'm really not cool with you going out with the guys all night on Saturday night. I want that to be us time. And if he says, you know what, that's not really for me, I think we're going to split up. If you're steady and stable and secure and confident in yourself, and if you know that you are safe, protected, and divinely guided, because that's what it all comes down to, is safety in these codependent relationships, then you can say, you know what, I don't really think this is working out, and you can let that go, and something better can come in. But something better cannot come in if we are sitting there worried about, oh my God, if I do this action that feels like the right thing to do for me, and this person doesn't accept that, you know, basically at the core of everything, I will die, or I will not be able to make it, or I will never find the love of my life, or, you know, I won't have somebody to help me take care of my children, or however that shows up, whatever that attachment is. And the attachments are what cause those codependent relationships. Now, in a non-codependent relationship, in a relationship where you are you and he is him, then you enter it and you say, you know what, I'm not, and you don't even hold back. You don't even hold back and say, and tell yourself, well, I'm afraid to say this to him. You just let it out. And as you let it out, that person either accepts it or not. And if they can't accept it, then, oh, okay, well, I guess this isn't going to work out. And you don't attach all of these strings to how it is, because all of those strings are what bind us. They bind you and they bind the person who you're in a relationship with. And the more strings you have, the more you feel confined. And the more confined you feel, the more you want to break free, because that's what we do. We are freedom seeking. You know, we want complete and absolute freedom in relationship, in everything. We want financial freedom. We want absolute freedom to be who we are. And if somebody can't accept you as you are, then that's a gift. That's a great gift to tell you, you know what, this person is just not right for you. But it's that fear, and the fear is what causes that codependency, that, oh my God, I won't be able to survive if this falls apart. And you must find your center and allow yourself to feel what you feel and express what you feel. because people will live for years and years and years in these codependent relationships, not liking what's going on and being quiet because of the fear of what's on the other side of that.
And I might also say that, you know, when a situation comes up like that where, you know, you're needing someone to be home on a Saturday night, I mean, you also want to take responsibility and discover what fear is within you that, like, is it because you're afraid, you know, they're fooling around on you? Or, you know, there's also a part where you have to look at mm-hmm. yourself and why you are worried about a certain specific day and what that means and all the different things. I mean, before you make, I think, an ultimatum. But, you know, I mean, you bring up an interesting point when you talked about, you know, depending on our healing depends on, you know, who we attract. And the question I will ask is, you know, is it the people that we are attracting that's changing, or is it us that's changing, and therefore the people that we attract no longer have to have those specific issues for us?
I perceive it's exactly that we change, and the people in our lives either change with us. They either, you know, will change along with us, or they won't. Now, it's funny because as I'm saying this, two different perspectives are coming up in my mind. One is the Carrie perspective, which is I do a lot of work with consciousness, and a lot of people will call it my consciousness or his consciousness or her consciousness, but I perceive it as consciousness. And I perceive that my consciousness is the same consciousness as Lori's consciousness, is the same consciousness as David's consciousness. And so I will do a lot of internal work and releasing whatever it is that I feel is blocking. Like, say, for example, let's say there's somebody in my life that has a certain behavior that they do that I'm really just not cool with. I might tell them that I need space or something to be able to deal with it. And then, you know, they can take that however they do. But then I'll go within and I will do work on it, because the more I resist how they're showing up, I'm not relaxed, I'm stressed out about how they're showing up, the more I keep that in place, because that resistance to how they're showing up keeps everything in place. And that's what I've learned. So what I will do is I will go in and I will, you know, ask myself, what is this showing me? Just like you said, you know, if somebody's going out on Saturday night, you know, what is the trigger there? And I will go in and I will ask myself, you know, what is it that they're showing me? And then I will just start working on myself on releasing my resistance to how they show up. Now, it's interesting that you asked this specific question, because this my friend, who things seem to be flowing a lot more smoothly these days, we had some things going on and I needed space. I didn't know exactly why I needed space. I knew I needed space, and he was kind of afraid to let that go, but he finally did. And in that space, I kind of did a lot of my own work. And then he had some books of mine, and I was like, I want my books back. And then we sort of had a little bit of an argument. And then something really amazing came out of it, which was that after all the work that I had done, you know, at the same time in releasing my resistance to how he was showing up, he seemed to show up completely differently, like a completely different person. And, you know, since I see it all as a reflection of me, I perceive that, you know, I did a lot of the, I was shifting, I was changing. But also at the same time, and this is the other side where I was like, well, two things are coming up. At the same time, there are people that I know are working on themselves all the time. They're always working on their blocks, they're working on this and that. And there are some relationships that, you know, you can do as much, you can do all the work in the world, but that person will not change. So, but, you know, it seems to me, and I hate to put labels on it, but just the circumstances that are coming up that are being shown to me right now are substance abuse things and things like that, where the person on the flip side who you're trying to do all this work for, they're just not ready. You know, they're not ready to do whatever it is that needs to be done to release whatever it is that needs to be released. And I wonder if the substance abuse actually keeps that in place, or if it's, you know, a resistance to the substance abuse itself, or I'm not really sure, but the circumstances that are coming up, that are being shown to me right now, that where it hasn't worked out, you know, there's been something else going on within the relationship that seems like it's also a barrier. So maybe it's both things. Maybe it's, you know, working on both the substance abuse and, you know, whatever the behavior is going on. Maybe it's just more things to work on within consciousness. And it's not easy. You know, it's an ongoing, it's a process that is going on constantly, at least for me. Whenever I find resistance in my life, any challenge, I'll sit there and I'll work with it. And I'll try and release it. And a lot of my time, whenever, because actually, basically, my life is pretty cool. But when I do find those challenges, that's what I have to do. Because in order to find my flow, I need to let go of that resistance, because the resistance blocks me from my own fulfillment. And that can show up in the behavior of someone else, or in my own behavior, or in something, you know, completely different that pushes my buttons. But anyway, yes, it is both me who shifts and the other person. Or if that person won't change, if that doesn't work, letting that go and somebody different can come in who is more in alignment with the way I'm, with my vibration in that moment.
Okay. Well, I want to encourage everyone to, you know, send in your questions about relationships. I think this is a time where there are a lot of things going on, and I think this could be an interesting way to continue talking about self-love, because I think it always comes back to that. Mm-hmm. So I hope people will continue sending in questions, and I hope you have lots more conversations about this over the next couple of weeks. And why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you and your book, and, you know, just do a nice little spiel about you.
Little infomercial. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm Carrie Cannon. I've written a book called Uncovering the Divine Within, A Journey of Self-Love, which is a book about my process. And what that book reveals, it was kind of, it came after a workbook that I created, which was sort of a download. You know, we hear people talk about, well, it was just a download after I had this experience. And it's an expansion of that. And we hear, you know, on all of these talk shows and whatever, well, the key is self-love. And it's like, well, that's all fine and dandy, but how do you learn how to love yourself? And I found that also, that I didn't know how to love myself. And after I had an experience, which is depicted in the book, or it's talked about in the book, I asked, okay, now that I have this, how can I share this? I need to be able to share this with other people. How can I do that? And it's actually a way of, it's sort of step by step, it asks you questions about yourself for self-inquiry, so that you can get to that place of understanding how you're standing in your own way, and to get to that place of self-love, and to, it's a tool. It's a really great tool to help you understand what makes you tick. And to me, I mean, I say this like every week, I know that everybody feels like my work is the most important work in the world, you know, and everybody has a special gift that is their gift to give to the world. And that's the same for me. I feel like this work is so valuable and it's so important. And I'm really starting to recognize the importance of it, because I hear people all over the place say, yes, there's this, 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 and this that you can do, like as far as law of attraction, but self-love is the key to all of it. And, you know, finding something that will help you ask yourself the right questions, to me, is just, it's a beautiful tool, and it's a beautiful gift, and a lot of people have really transformed their lives from it. And if any listeners wanted to receive, I have the free workbook, which was my original download that came before I wrote the book. You can get that by going to divinewithin.com, which is my website, and sign up for the newsletter, or I think there's a free download. If you go to my products and services page, you can get a free download of that. But it's the Uncovering the Divine Within workbook. It has always been free, always will be free. And but if you wanted an expanded, sort of with all the the anecdotes and everything, you can buy the book at Inner Circle Publishing. It's $15.
Cool.
And I've got other things going on the website, too. So, lots of good stuff.
Awesome. And our next show will be Wednesday, November 4th.
Yes.
Cool.
Excellent. Great. All right. Thank you so much, Lori.
You're welcome. And I hope you enjoyed the show.